come together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we pray that the things we do will give Him glory. In just a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Butler has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made convenient. There's clothing here at the baptistry's field. And you can confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be immersed for the remission of your sins. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to begin reading with you at verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I want to talk to you this morning about Christ the Redeemer. When you read through your Bible, the writers of the book make it plain that Christ is the Redeemer. And the Redeemer is the one who has paid for our sins, who has purchased us back. And there is a song we often sing that comes from Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer lives. So when you think about Christ as the Redeemer, just how do you view Him? You know, I've stopped and I begin to think about how a lot of people look at Jesus Christ. And I want you to consider some of the ways people look at Jesus today. First, some people look at Jesus as a good luck charm. I think that many hold the view that He is just there and that He's like a rabbit's foot. How often do we see this when one is at a ball game? Before they step into the batter's box, they make the motion of the cross. Or after a great run in football, they'll take a knee and make the motion of the cross. They don't really have a relationship with Him. They just kind of keep Him with Him, kind of like a rabbit's foot. Then secondly, I think some people see Jesus as someone to get you out of a jam. That when you just need help, you save up your prayers and you save up everything until you need Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Him. You don't really worship Him. You don't really care about Him until you need something. And so I think many people have that concept of Jesus. He's your go-to when you are in a predicament. But third, I think some people look at Jesus as let's make a deal. And what that is they have no relationship with Christ, but they're willing to strike some bargain with Christ. That they'll say, Jesus, if you get me out of this jam, I'll tell you what, I'll do this for you. And so they try to bargain with Jesus. They try to make a deal with Jesus. And that's how they view the Son of God. They either view Him as a good luck charm, as someone to get you out of a jam, or someone to make a deal with. And it's a shame that people have this kind a view of Christ. Now, there may be other views, but I want you to think about, from the book of John and the 8th chapter, the real view we should have as Christ. The real view we should see Jesus from. In the book of John and the 8th chapter, from this portion of the Word of God, notice with me in verse 2, it says, early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. Notice early in the morning. This was the time that Jesus would come to the temple. And it was at this time He would teach the people and they would listen. And the Bible says He sat down. This was one of the ways the teacher would teach in that day and time. And I'm not sure what He was teaching that early morning. But notice it's interrupted. In verse 3, the scribes and Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing Him, that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger as though He did not hear. So when they continued asking Him, He raised Himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Now then, notice the religious leaders. They've been in conflict with Jesus. And John 8, to see the scribes and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they come to the temple, to the place where Jesus is teaching. And they have with them a woman. And here they come into the place where the Lord is teaching, and they put the woman in His presence in the midst of the people. And they had taken this woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and they brought her, and they put her in there to shame her. And then you look at their actions towards her. You see the disdain they had. And we're made to wonder about her. Was this the way she was making a living? Was her husband gone from her? We do not know. But what we do know is that they were trying to set a trap. Because they only brought the woman, the law said, both were to be brought and judged. But then I look at the woman again. I'm sure as that woman was there, I'm sure she was trying to find some sympathetic eyes. She was looking for somebody to show compassion, but nobody in the mob showed her any. They only had stones in their hands. They were ready to kill her. And they held within their hands the stones of self-righteousness. And I want you to get a view of the people surrounding her with stones ready to kill her. And look at what they say. They look at Jesus and they ask a question of Jesus. They said, now Moses tells us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? And what they were doing is setting the trap for Jesus. What do you want us to do with her? Stone her or release her? If they said stone her, if Jesus said stone her, they'd say, you show no mercy. If Jesus said, do not stone her, they'd say, you don't keep the law. So here they were trying to entangle Jesus, trap Jesus, and they were trying to get Jesus to say one way or the other. But in your Bible, notice what Jesus did. Jesus stoops down. Have you ever thought that He stooped down? And He writes something in the ground. And they continue to say in verse 7, what do you should we do with her? And He raises Himself up and He makes the statement, He who is without sin, you cast the first stone. Now notice what the Bible says after that. In verse 9, those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience. You know what that means? They realized they had sin too. They left out one by one, beginning with the oldest who recognized his sin, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Have you ever thought that Jesus made them answer their own question? Have you ever looked at the Redeemer saying, I tell you what, if you are without sin, you cast the first stone. And they all begin to drop their stones and feet begin to shuffle. And from the oldest to the youngest, they left. And notice what Jesus does in verse 10. In verse 10, Jesus raised Himself up again and saw no one but the woman. And He said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Have you ever thought that Jesus raised Himself up? And when He raised Himself up, He looks at the woman and He says, those that have accused you, where are they? Has no one accused you? And she says in verse 11, no one, Lord. But I'm often thought about, she may have been thinking in her mind, what will He do to me? She's left alone with Jesus, and it must have gone through her mind, what's He going to do? He is the only one without sin. He could cast the first stone. But look at verse 11 carefully. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You know what that is? That is Christ the Redeemer. He said, go and sin no more. He's not easy on sin. He doesn't condone sin. He condemns the sin. But notice He shows mercy and compassion when nobody else would. I've often thought about on the cross, if she had been there, I wonder if she would recognize the one without the stone in His hand. The one who showed her mercy. Now then, I want to ask you one question and the lesson's yours. How do you see the Redeemer? Do you see Jesus as someone to make a deal with, someone to get you out of a jam, someone you pray to when someone's sick, but that's the only time you pray to Him, someone you go to when you fear for your life? Maybe you go to Him when you have a problem, and that's the only time you go to Him. Or do you see Jesus as the Redeemer, the one who died for you and is willing to forgive you of your sin? He doesn't condone any wrong we do, but He has the hand of mercy. And it's a pity anyone will make the same mistakes over and over once they come to see Jesus as the Redeemer. Notice Jesus challenged the woman. He said, go and sin no more. He warned her, don't go back to the old ways. Yet He forgave her sin. Isn't that a beautiful picture of Christ the Redeemer? And do you recognize today that no matter what you've done in your past, no matter how checkered of a past you have, no matter how black the things you've done in the past are, that you can have your sins blotted out in baptism and be raised up to walk in newness of life? Or if you have even left the Lord and have wandered so far into the pig pen, you think there's no way for God to forgive me. You look at this woman and you see God is a merciful God who's willing to forgive if we repent, if we change, if we're willing to follow Him. As I was taking the Lord's Supper today, I was mindful of how unworthy I am. Because I know the real me. I had somebody one time write me up and say some things about me that weren't true, but they were mean things. And I was about ready to call and defend myself. Then I thought, well, if they knew the real me, they could put the truth down and be a lot worse than what they accused me of. What I want us to do is see Christ as the Redeemer. What I wish we could do is see that no matter what we've done in the past, that there's no sin so great that He can't blot it out. And what I need to do is look at what Jesus said. Go and sin no more. That doesn't mean I won't fall, but I'll tell you what that does mean. That's not going to be my practice of life. My practice of life is to live. Because look at what Jesus says in verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I'm to walk in the light. John would write that letter in his epistle in 1 John 1, 7. He says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. Have you looked at Christ the Redeemer? Have you seen the one who's willing to forgive? What I don't understand is why so many people reject being forgiven. I think there are some people who think they're above forgiveness, that they don't need forgiveness. I'll tell you, my friend, everybody needs God's grace and mercy. And some people think, well, I'll just live my life and later on I'll become a Christian. I'm just having too much fun right now. And what they're doing is they're playing a game of risk. I'll tell you something. When it comes to your eternal soul, that's not something we play with. That's the most serious thing you have. And if you're not right with the Lord, our prayer is this morning you'd make your life right as together we stand and sing.